Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome to another episode of Jamming with Jason. Hey, today I am excited because I'm talking to my friend Gina Hansen. And I will tell you, Gina is one of the people that every time I see her, I just light up and smile and want to laugh. She's one of the most fun people that I know. So make sure to listen to this entire episode because you're going to have a good time listening and you're also going to learn a lot. Because Gina has some pretty amazing stories that you're going to want to stick around and listen to. And so without further ado, let's get right into that episode with Gina.
Hi, I'm Jason Mefford, and you're in the right place to start transforming your career and life with this podcast. I've been in the trenches as an executive leader, and now I'm an executive coach and confidential advisor to executives all over the world. I use a multidisciplinary approach to improve learning that drives transformation by getting to the root cause in a practical, no-nonsense way. I love learning and sharing what makes people tick. You get both education and entertainment, since learning shouldn't be boring, right? But that's enough about me. This podcast is a combination of intuitive leadership, neural influence, and mental mastery to take your career and life to levels you've never thought possible. If you're wanting to improve yourself, develop stronger relationships professionally and personally, make quicker, better decisions, and become a more effective leader, then of course, this podcast is for you because you are going to learn how to manage emotions in yourself and others, avoid burnout, stress, and anxiety, master your mind, get people to listen and take action, and become a lifelong learner. And when you do that, you will have a positive mental attitude, executive leadership presence, and the skills to know exactly what to say and do in any situation. I'm glad you're here. So, let's get started.
All right, Gina, how you doing?
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Aloha.
Aloha. I know it's funny because it's, you know, that one of the nice things about actually being stuck at home is we get to talk to people all over the world, right? That we normally wouldn't. So, you know, California to Hawaii today, right?
Yes.
So yes, aloha and belated melekiliki maha, right?
As well. I know. Ole makahiki ho.
Yeah, we were going off on that a little bit before. So welcome. I mean, like I said before in the intro, you are one of the people that just every time I see you and you talk and your smile is infectious, right? I mean, you've got energy, girl. You make me happy.
Oh, thank you. Well, you make me happy.
Well, I hope so with my bad jokes and everything else too, right? But no, it's like I said, it's you know, I know a little bit about your story and I want to get into that because I think it's important. You know, as we've both gone through, you know, we get to a certain point in our life when there's probably fewer years ahead of us than we've already lived, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm at that point in my life. You're still 29, I know. But, you know, I know your story because you're sometimes we live our life. Everything's kind of going along fine. We grow up, we become adults. But then somewhere in the middle of our life, sometimes life kind of blows up. And I know it was kind of that way for you a little while ago. So maybe just kind of give some context to people, you know, what were you doing? What kind of happened? Because I think there's a lot of lessons and learnings here for other people that might be going through maybe not exactly the same thing, but something similar in their own life.
Okay. Wow. I had a pretty interesting thing happen to me in 2020. It was actually a cluster of crazy life upheaval that I went through, starting with in the beginning of the year. I finally had the courage to ask my husband for a divorce. And that was a very difficult thing for me to do, to own that. The conversation started in, 6 months before that, saying maybe we should be separated. And yet I couldn't say the D word. Saying that word was just really, really, really the hardest thing I've ever had to do, because I knew that by putting myself out there, I would have to be vulnerable in a way financially. What am I going to do? Where am I going to live? What about my son? You know, all of these things, like thinking of other people too, not just myself. Like, now I'm going to be tearing our families apart. And so it was such a big, hard decision for me to make, but I finally had the courage to say it and to let it out. And it felt like such a relief to just finally really exhale and say it's out. It's past my lips. I can't take it back. Well, then 4 days later, I found out that I had cancer, and thyroid cancer, papillary thyroid cancer. And I was shocked, because I had lived such a healthy life, and I didn't even anticipate hearing those words. And now I am thinking, what am I going to do? Because right away, the doctor said, it's the best cancer. If I had cancer, this is the cancer that I would want to have.
You love it when a doctor says it, right? If you're going to have cancer, that's the one to have.
Right.
I'd rather not have cancer, but thank you very much, doctor. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So he told me that. And then right away, he was going to send me to a physician to get a surgeon to get it removed completely. And I put the brakes on and I said, whoa. I ended up deciding to go to Mexico and get holistic integrative treatment. So it was a combination of both Western and holistic practices. And in the course of 3 weeks, the tumors shrank. The treatment was working. I was introduced to a variety of different modalities and techniques and nutrition. And it was just lifestyle practices. It was such an amazing, beautiful experience. I'm so blessed to have had that opportunity to see things, see healing in a different light. And then I also realized, as I was telling you earlier, Jason, is this setup is not like a hospital. It's like a resort where you're on the beach. You've got the most amazing sunsets, whales jumping off your balcony. You can see in the surfers and catching the last waves of the day. It was just such a beautiful, peaceful environment to heal in. Lots of people there from all over the world, different ethnicities and things coming to be treated in Mexico. And I learned from that experience that one of the most important things that helps me heal is my environment, and having the peaceful surroundings to be able to just focus on me and heal. And so when I got home, instead of continuing the practices that I've learned while I was in Mexico, I decided to remove my thyroid and follow the original advice of the surgeon. So I removed it, and a week later, I moved out from my husband, and I've been separated ever since. And this has been probably the best experience for me, to be alone, lots of quiet time, lots of reflection, lots of self-love. And that was just exactly what I needed in healing, being separated, finding empowerment in my own. And then the next month, so this is like the six months of all this happening, I decide to take an early retirement from my airline career. And I had been a flight attendant for 28 years. I loved my job. I loved my lifestyle. I loved traveling and visiting people on layovers and eating really cool places, you know, and having different ethnic foods and things. I just loved it. But then opportunity came and I decided to just grab it, even though I had no idea what I would do for work after. So that brought me to TCP, where I met you and Jim Fortin's community, group coaching environment, where I got to tap into who am I, what are my values, who, you know, what is the life that I want to live, and starting to see a vision of my future that I had never thought of before. Like, what do I want and how do I want to live? So I'm so happy and blessed to have met you and all this, these amazing coaches and participants from all over the world. And it was the best thing I could have done at the right time for me.
Well, it's you know, because I want to dig in. You just gave us a lot, right?
So let's kind of sorry.
No. That's exactly what it should be, right? So let's kind of unpack some of it because, okay, you know, again, people that are listening, you used a few words here too. You used the word courage. Mm-hmm. Right. So at the beginning, when you were afraid to say the D word.
Yes.
And it's not damn, by the way, for those of you, it's divorce, right? Right. But it took courage to actually say that. And I think, you know, your story is not that different from other people. Right. And again, I mean, I want to talk about you, but you probably didn't know too. Must have been 10, 12 years ago now. Mm-hmm. All within the space of about 6 months as well.
Yeah.
I had panic attack, divorce, lost my job. I mean, it's like all of this stuff happened within just a few months for me as well.
Wow.
Right. And so if you and I have both experienced this, other people have experienced it too, right? Mm-hmm. And having all of that stuff get shoved into such a short time period kind of makes you feel a little overwhelmed a lot of times, right? Mm-hmm. And feel like, my gosh, nobody else is dealing with this, but a lot of people are. And so I wanted to go back because, like I said, you used the word courage when you were talking about, you know, I'm guessing that probably for a while you hadn't been happy in your marriage. Mm-hmm. You'd been thinking about this. But what was holding you back from actually having the courage to actually stand up and say what you wanted?
Well, my son had one more year before of high school before, you know, he graduated. And so I was thinking of other people, like, let's just wait until he graduates and then, you know, he'll be gone. It's better for everyone. But I stopped myself and I said, like we were talking earlier, how, you know, life is not guaranteed. And so I shouldn't just put my life on hold for someone else. So that's why I waited so long and struggled with this internal, unhappiness and resentment came to, you know, there was a lot of emotions. But basically, this kind of ties into what I do now is my husband and I had kind of a wall up between us. And truthfully, it's an energy, a wall of energy that was blocking us from fully connecting with each other. And I knew that was the reason when he would kiss me goodbye, his body would be like 20 feet behind and it just his lips would be like, you know, like he was just. Like,
so there was a physical but also an energetic boundary kind of between the two of you.
Yes. Yeah, there was it was all show and no love, really. And I could feel that in our interactions, where, if you can imagine that. And so as I was finding myself after all of this happened, and I had to find myself, what I want to do, what am I going to do next in my life? I came upon a book that described exactly my relationship with my husband, and they called it a heart wall, like an energy heart wall. And it is, and I don't know if you know about this, but our subconscious mind actually remembers everything from our whole life, even things from past lives that we've brought in. And so what it does is it actually, when we don't experience completely any time in our life, say like a divorce or our parent dies or something, if we don't truly experience it and feel it and let it pass through us, then it act, these energies, these emotions get trapped in our body. And over time, it leads to pain, inflammation, and disease. And because it's an imbalance of our functions, of like our lymph, our blood flow gets disrupted because of these energies that get stuck in our body. And so our subconscious will gather up all of these energies and put it around our heart to protect us. So it's meant to be a good, safe, you know, safe for safety reasons. But what it does is it blocks us from being our true essence, and it blocks us from having deep connected relationships. So over the years, this dissociation or this, my husband started to just be unemotional. And it's because a lot of things, he was experiencing a lot of things. He helped his father pass, you know, and so dealing with that death of his father. And he was on a business trip once, and the coworker that he was traveling with died, and he had to go, and this is in a foreign country, he had to go and identify the body and prepare for his friend to come back to Hawaii. And so, and a lot of other things that emotionally started to harden him, harden his heart. And so I know that in essence, even maybe there was probably, I did probably a couple of bad things in our relationship, but a lot of it was other people, other experiences he had of life that were blocking us from having a happy, healthy marriage. So.
Well, it's interesting because as you're talking about that, I mean, it's, you know, I often think in musical lyrics and movie quotes too. And so I've got, I'm gonna harden my heart song going through my head. Right. Anyway, but it's interesting as you talk about that, right? Because again, you know, and for everybody listening, whether you realize it or not, right, what we're talking about is actually what physiologically happens in people's bodies, mm-hmm. right? And so just as you were talking about, you know, some of the experiences that your husband had had that were some of these things that maybe never got fully dealt with, right? And we're showing up as this pain and inflammation, other things in our body, you were probably experiencing some of those same things, right? Because as we live, right, there's just these experiences that we have. I mean, as you were talking, I'm sitting there thinking to myself too, yeah, right? I mean, anytime you get a divorce, it's not like, well, all right, everything was fine yesterday, but today we're going to get divorced, right? It's, yeah. It's there's stuff that leads up to it, right? Mm-hmm. Over years. I mean, once I was finally loose of that relationship and looked back, it was like, man, I knew 7 years ago. It's like, why the fuck did I hang around for 7 years, right? Mm-hmm. I knew, but it's interesting, you know, again, because as we each have our own life experience, if we're not dealing with and processing some of these emotions, it does kind of harden us from being able to have, you know, real connection with other people, even your partner or spouse as well.
Right. Exactly. And even for me, like I know, actually know when I started having cancer in my body. And it was the day before I got married. Like I literally have a picture of me shutting myself down. And the reason was we were had a celebration before our wedding, and we were going to say a prayer, you know, before we ate. And my husband said, let me pray, because whenever you pray, you go on and on and on. And so I shut my voice down. I literally said, okay, I'm going to be the good wife. I'm going to let him, you know, take control of our relationship, and I'm not going to, you know, be myself, really. So that's what started. That's why this this problem here with the thyroid and the cancer is a really a lesson for me into knowing and speaking my truth. And I believe that every time we have an ache in our body or a problem, disease or illness, there's a message in it for us. There's some kind of lesson that we are meant to learn around something.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, again, as you were talking about that and effectively subjugating yourself to your husband the day you got married and losing your voice, right, as you're trying to be a good wife.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting that that's where the cancer showed up?
Exactly.
Right? Because you lost your own voice and that's where it showed up. Right. And again, I mean, some people listening might be going, you guys are a little crazy here, but you know, again, I mean, I know lots of people that are therapists, you know, hypnotherapists, doctors, other people. And I don't know how many stories I've heard from people just like you where, you know, in fact, one of my friends, one of her clients said something like, man, I've really got this pain in my neck. Right. Uh-huh. And so she's also a coach and she says, well, who's your pain? John. and the person didn't even realize it, but it was, you know, again, it was some relationship issue with a particular person that was showing up as pain in that person's neck.
Yeah.
And just really, really interesting, mm-hmm. right? That those things happen. A lot of times what we think are just aches and pains of growing older could be much, much, much deeper than
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Right. And everything is energy, and especially our thoughts create our emotions, and we are emotional beings. So in our body, there's at least 100, most people have at least 100 trapped emotions, because not only are these emotions things that we experience in our lives, we also absorb emotions from people we don't even know, our animals, environments, houses, and things, all because everything is energy. And then we inherit emotions. We share them. Right now we have, you know, a global pandemic. So we're sharing fear. We're sharing lack of control and things like that. So there's so, and then we even bring in emotions from previous lives. I know that sounds a little odd to some people, but yeah, we actually, the lessons that we haven't learned in other times that we've experienced life, we actually bring them in. Because we're trying to learn them.
So yeah, we keep having those same lessons until we finally end up learning them. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and so I wanted to, this kind of ties in a little bit to this whole idea of you kind of losing your voice, mm-hmm. right? When you kind of became the good wife.
Yes.
I think there's a TV show about that too, right? The good wife, or this is what good wives do, right? Uh-huh. But what's interesting is I think, you know, again, as I get older, I kind of see this more and more, right? Where we tend to identify or create our own identity of who we are, mm-hmm. right? And that usually is exhibited in the environment around us. And we're going to get into that environment more too, mm-hmm. because I want to dig into that more. But the reason that I was kind of going there is, you know, you get married, you have an ideal of what the good wife is, you have a son, you have an idea of what, you know, being a good mom is, mm-hmm. you know, to the point to where you, you know, thought before, well, no, we can't get divorced because that's not going to be good for my son. And I'm a good mother, so I can't say that, right?
Right.
You had a 28-year career as a flight attendant. Mm-hmm. as well, right? So I'm guessing, you know, again, as you've gone through your adulthood, by the way, I don't know how you could be 28 years when you're only 29 years old. Anyway, I can't do math, but, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about that too, because
my age? You're
not your
just age. Kidding.
You never talk about a woman's age, right? I know that.
Oh, my God.
But But, you know, how as we get older, we have all this identity kind of stuff wrapped in, right? Mm-hmm. And so as you had all of this stuff kind of pulled out from underneath you, I mean, yes, you're still a mom, you know, that doesn't change, but now you're no longer a wife because you're divorced. You're no longer a flight attendant, which is what you had done for so long in your life, right? And I see a lot of people, myself included, that a lot of times we get kind of to this midlife and sometimes the rug gets pulled out from underneath us, mm-hmm. right? So how did you kind of deal with that whole identity thing as well as you're kind of pushing through and dealing with all of these things that you were going through as well? How'd you get through?
Well,
I know a lot of people kind of crumble.
I would have if I wasn't in TCP. That's why I say TCP, just it was exactly what I needed at that time. And yet I was going through a depression. I laid on that couch over there during my first round of TCP because I was so I had reason to feel this way because I was healing in more ways than, you know, physical, emotional, and the whole deal. But in TCP, we are provided with a way to reflect back on who we are and also create through using workshop of the mind and other imaginative and hypnosis and different, you know, tools that we're given to start to identify with who is the person that you want to be and start to work backwards from that. So everything that I needed to get my life back in order was in TCP.
Yeah. Well, and so again, so if you, because I know Gina and I are in the same coaching program called Transformational mm-hmm. Coaching Program by Jim Fortin, F-O-R-T-I-N. So if we've got the references there, but yeah, because a lot of it gets back to reprogramming your identity or mm-hmm. who you are and kind of coming back to what really is most important to you, right?
Yes.
And I think we're no different. A lot of people wake up and are kind of like, who am I?
Yes, exactly. And so one of the things that we do is we work on identifying what are our values, you know, and then what are the values that will bring us closer to the person that we want to be. So we get to really be more intentional with the life that we want to create, which is not how I was living. So I was just living la 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 la, and now I actually have more vision of my future, and how I see myself is kind of just as I truly am. I didn't have this foresight or this knowledge of who I was and what I wanted before joining that program.
Yeah, and so really it's kind of, I mean, you know, again, for terms that maybe people outside of the program might understand, but mm-hmm. some self-reflection, right? A lot of times midlife, we start to reflect more on what we've done, what we haven't done, right? That's where the idea of a bucket list comes from of, hey, these are things that I still want to do, right? Mm-hmm. But also of just kind of figuring out, you know, who are you and what do you actually value, right? Because especially right. when things get pulled out from underneath you, then you have to start questioning certain things. And sometimes that can be pretty tough, especially if most of our identity is wrapped up in being a wife, being mm-hmm. a husband, being a mother, being a father, right? You know, having a particular job or a particular career or whatever else that it might be, when that no longer is there, a lot of times we crumble.
Right. And can I tell you, one of the things I learned towards the end, this is probably 3 or 4 months into this program that I was in with you, I learned that I wasn't the only one suffering with this depression, that there was hundreds of us at the airlines that were somewhat forced out. You know, we didn't, we weren't shooting that. Flight attendants, like, we love this lifestyle so much that we stay till we're 80, 90 years old, and we actually use our beverage card as a walker in the aisle.
I've had some flight attendants like that. Yeah.
Right, right. So what I learned through my coaching program experience is that I can help other people, because I figured out that we are attached to the identity of who we were. And so much so we're attached to the suffering. We create our suffering because of the expectations of and the connections to our past, instead of creating the future that we want. So what I started to do was, after this experience on my own, is I created a program for the flight attendants so that they can learn some of these tools that I did to help me pick me up from my depression and get me, you know, into thinking about who I wanted to be. So I learned a lot from TCP because I was able to start to share it with other people and help them pull them up from feeling like, you know, that that's who they were, and that now what, you know? So I think especially in retirement, you know, a lot of the people, I am young enough to work. I need to work more. I'm still in, you know, my 50s, but a lot of the people that I was working with are, you know, of retirement age, and they didn't want to slow down. They wanted to continue going and traveling. And yet their connections were, because they were so connected to their jobs and always going, they didn't have roots in their community. They didn't have relationships at home to satisfy them. So yeah, there's a lot. I mean, and I learned through this experience is that from the time I started working, I was told, prepare for retirement, save money for your 401k, financially be ready for retirement. And what I learned through my experience is you need to prepare emotionally for this separation of the person that you have identified with for a good portion of your life, because it's so important for you to be aware that there's going to be this awkward gap after you retire, and you're trying to figure out, what does my day look like? Because I don't need to wake up at 5 a.m. anymore. What do I want to do? What makes me happy? What fills me with joy? How can I still serve? You know? So these are some insight that I got through my experience.
Well, it's funny because, you know, like you said, it's you know, through most of our adult life, we have a certain identity of who we are. Mm-hmm. And for most of us that work, that typically is in whatever our job, vocation, profession happens to be, mm-hmm. right? And so we spend all of our time and energy on that. And when that no longer is there, we got nothing.
Yeah.
Right? If you will. I mean, so how many times, you know, with divorce as an example, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, there's divorce early on, but a lot of times once the kids leave the house, there's a lot of divorce that happens at that point too, right? Because you both, you know, kind of had a common goal of raising the kids. You've both been kind of off doing your own thing. You know, we kind of separate duties and you do this and I do that. And then the kids leave the house and you realize we don't have anything in common anymore.
Right.
And we haven't actually liked each other for quite a while, you know, and because that's our whole identity. And then when it's gone, we don't know what to do. Or if you spent 28 years doing the same thing for a job, mm-hmm. and now all of a sudden you don't have that, we feel a little lost because we're not doing some of those other things. We don't have those roots in our community. We don't often have those outside hobbies or interests, right, as well, because we're so focused on whatever those other things happen to be. And when they go away, it's like our whole world seems to go away at that point.
Right. Crumbles, your whole life crumbles around you. Yeah.
Yeah. You
know, my son just left for college, and, you know, this a few months ago, and it's being, you know, in the position I'm in now, it's so quiet, and it's hard to adjust to the quiet and to the idea that I don't have to cook for anyone anymore. It's just me, you know? So, there's a lot of learning in life through relationships, especially. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I wanted to come back to what we were talking before about, you know, this environment, mm-hmm. right? Because I was actually having an exchange with somebody, online social media, mm-hmm. you know, where I put out can't even remember exactly what the message was, mm-hmm. but they kind of came back and said, yeah, you know, I'm really trying to do that, but right. And you always know there's something coming when somebody says, but right.
Yeah.
you
and
know,
trying.
And trying. Oh, don't I? Yeah, I know. You already caught me on that one before. There's no but, and there's no trying.
No, but.
But. But. The point was, right, is, yeah, I get it.
But sorry, just there's, connecting.
There's other people in my life, let's say, that are holding me back, or the environment that I'm in doesn't allow me to be or do what I really want to do. Mm-hmm. And you know, I know we know about that too, you know, and the fact that, you know, for you to actually heal and kind of move into this next phase of your life, mm-hmm. you had to actually either voluntarily remove yourself from the environment, or you get volunteered. Right. Like you got volunteered
yeah.
at the airline, right? It's like, we're going to make it, we want this group of people to leave. So we're going to make it so you leave, right? We're going to give you enough money or whatever it is, and you're out the door.
Yeah.
And so let's talk a little bit about environment that way, and how important mm-hmm. that actually is if you're trying to make a change or you're trying to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I mean, again, because you had kind of said before, right, that you realized after you left your marriage that you needed a different environment to be able to heal.
Right. Well, what I found in that is it's a combination of peaceful bliss and loneliness. It's like you're kind of juggling these two things because you're all alone. Well, I was all alone, and so there was a lot of loneliness because my son was not with me all the time. He was between us, and so it was a lot of sadness for that connection with people that I didn't have. Plus, it was a pandemic, and I wasn't working, so I had no other relationship stimulus going on. But also on the opposite side, the freedom and the peace of being able to experience my morning ritual, you know, my morning routine, and the sun, the birds and the sunrise, and, you know, just the beauty that surrounds me here naturally. And so it was a combination, and so over time, you start to focus on more of the beauty and the gratitude in your health and your surroundings and the peace. And even if you are lonely, it's just like, but I have all of this, you know. So you kind of get outweighed. In my opinion, that's what happened with me, you know. So,
well, it's funny because, yeah, well, and as you're sitting there talking about it, I thought, you know, in some ways, how ironic, right? You live in Hawaii, mm-hmm. one of the most beautiful places in the whole world, right? I mean, people mm-hmm. just love to go there for vacation, but how much of the time are we effectively living in a beautiful environment, but we don't take the time to enjoy it or realize what we actually have.
Right.
Right. Is, you know, and this could be whether you're living in Cleveland, Cleveland or Hawaii or California, right? Or anywhere else in the world, that we're already surrounded by environments that can be beautiful if we're looking for it, right?
Right.
So it sounds like that's a little bit of what you did, or part of this transition was actually seeing and enjoying the beauty that was around you as well.
Yes. And I started hiking every week, you know, just being outdoors. One of the things I learned is, have you heard of forest bathing?
No.
Oh,
tell me more.
Okay. It's a Japanese healing. It's not really a modality. It's just a practice of spending time in nature and starting to ground, you know, and the trees, especially pine trees, are super healing in this space. So what I would do is go to my friend's house and sit. She would drop me off at the top of her mountain where she had this pine forest. And I would just sit there and I would journal and I would just be by myself. And it was so nice. Yeah. So that's one of the things I did. And I just started to connect with nature more and have more gratitude. And slowly I forgot that I was all by myself because I had beauty all around me. So, yeah.
Well, that's where, you know, there's all those sayings like stop and smell the roses.
Right.
Right.
But that's what it's like.
But we don't so right. much of the time because we get so busy. I mean, even, you know, what you've been able to do, right, as you've changed your life and have gotten more in touch with nature and seeing the beauty around you, aren't those things that we can also do even if we still have a regular job and if, you know, we're in a relationship with somebody else? Are those things we can also do?
Right. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah, because I heard you mention the morning ritual, right? Which is where, you know, again, if you're a morning person, it's probably going to be a morning ritual. But if you're a night person, maybe it's a night ritual, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm guessing then that you probably take some time every day to do things that bring you this peaceful bliss as well, right? That's kind of what you're talking about a little bit there.
Oh, definitely. One of the things we did while we were in Mexico was we watched the Heal, you know, H-E-A-L, Heal, the documentary. And one of the men in the documentary, he had, the doctor said he wasn't going to survive. He was a Japanese man and he had gone through everything. And so what he discovered in the morning, he would, you know, in Japan, there's not a lot of nature. You have to look for nature because there's a lot of buildings and things. And so his building was across from the park and some trees. And in the morning, he would listen to the birds and stuff. And he started to develop sound. And so sound frequency, he started to do like a little mantra chant or something. It was just a sound. It wasn't words or anything. But he started to develop this practice and he healed himself through this. And I believe it's connecting to nature, love and gratitude, and this energy of this frequency of the sound that he was making in his throat, he actually healed himself. So, you know, there's so many, I totally believe, and through this evidence, you know, in this documentary and other things, that we have the innate ability to heal ourselves. And whether it be sound therapy, energy healing, prayer, the power of prayer, and having a bunch of people come around you and pray over you. So powerful. Amazing.
Yeah. No, we do have the power to heal, right? And a lot of times it's just up to us to actually do some of the things that whatever it is that happens to resonate with individuals is going to be different, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for you going into the pine forest and journaling, that was a good thing, right? Now for me, yeah. I like that too.
Yeah.
Right. I like being in the forest as well. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But for other people, it might be, you know, sitting at the beach.
Right.
It might be painting a picture or, you know, coloring in a coloring book. It might be literally smelling the roses or doing gardening. Mm-hmm. Or, right, there's so many different things that we can all do. And if you just spend a few minutes a day.
Oh my God, laughing.
Laughing
is the best medicine.
Are we allowed to laugh?
You know what gets me right now is watching animals. Like, there, so many people are sharing videos of animals doing crazy things. And that brings me so much joy. And I love just laughing at these animals.
Well, that's another one of those things. Again, I mean, like you shared the story of the man, you know, doing the sound. Mm-hmm. There's several stories that I've read about people just laughing. Mm-hmm. Their way to being better, right? One guy, right, that just watched Three Stooges videos all the time, yeah, you know,
right,
and was just laughing and ended up, you know, physically healing. But I think, right, you know, back to your point, just like, you know, we're told to prepare financially for retirement,
mm-hmm,
we're not usually told to prepare emotionally for life,
yeah,
in general, let alone retirement, right? Mm-hmm. And so we spend all this time on the finances or some of these other things, but some of these little things that we can do each day actually help us from an emotional perspective to be able to prepare ourselves.
Right. And instead of just preparing ourselves, maybe just connecting and enjoying our lives as we go, instead of thinking in the future, in 10 years, I'm going to retire and then I will live, right? I mean, most people say, when I retire, I'm going to travel or I'm going to do this. But I think what I learned in my lessons is live every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's live every day. And I think that really is a, because as you said that, it reminded me of my mother who passed away many years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was the same thing, right? Where she worked hard her whole life. She always dreamed of traveling. You know, one of the reasons why I love to travel, because of her love of travel. But, you know, she was going to travel when she retired.
Mm-hmm.
And then she retired, got cancer, 5 years, struggle with cancer, gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, it's like we shouldn't wait until the end of our life to live or to do some of these things that we want to do, because
mm-hmm,
we never know how much time we're actually going to have, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, there's nothing like having a bout with cancer or going through some of these other experiences that you went through in that very short period of time, mm-hmm, to kind of wake us up and realize that, man, we just need to live life and have fun, right? Which I think, again, is one of the reasons why your energy is such that you're always laughing, you're always smiling, you're always, right? Because you understand and realize how precious life is,
mm-hmm,
and are doing those things. So you're living your life every day.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Looks like I need to start living my life better too. Well, I guess any parting additional things that maybe we didn't talk about. I mean, this is one of those episodes where there's a lot of little things that are woven throughout this for people to be able to get a lot of benefit from it. But anything else you'd like to make sure and leave with people before we get on with the rest of our day?
Yeah, I just would love to leave an empowering message that to trust yourself and your intuition and not rely on what the Western medical doctors tell you, only that, because there's so much more that you can do for your health. So much more.
Yeah, there is. Well, and Gina too, because I know, you know, you've done this, you've lived through it as well. I mean, if people have been listening, they're like, I want to get to know that Gina better. How can people actually reach out or find you, or, you know, as well, if they want to connect with you, ask questions, do whatever, how's the best place for people to find you?
Oh, I'll leave some links for you to put in your show notes. But I'm on Facebook, Gina Hansen 808, I believe, Gina Hansen 808. And then I'm on Instagram, emotioncode.energyhealing.
Yep. And we'll make sure and put those links in the show notes as well. So thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
It's always nice. Like I said, I always feel better when I talk to you. I don't care what it is. You don't even have to say anything. You just have to smile and I feel better.
Well, this was a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. And like I said, I mean, what you said today is going to help a lot of people, which is really the important thing, right? So, you know, we all go through this. We can all find the beauty all around us. We can all live every day. And the more that we actually live each day, the happier we're going to be, I think, right?
Exactly.
Exactly.
You're
All right. Well, thank you, my friend. And
welcome.
we'll see you around.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for listening to today's episode of Jamming with Jason. Keep on rocking in the audit world. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share with your friends and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know what you enjoyed the most about the podcast, and you may even be featured on a future episode. When you're ready to turbocharge your leadership development, join the Briefing Leadership Program, where you get access to everything in one place and can interact directly with me in the group. If you'd like to earn continuing professional education for listening to today's episode, head on over to C-Risk Academy's video on-demand learning platform at ondemand.criskacademy.com. Not only do you get a CPE certificate, but you will also have access to hundreds of video on-demand learning opportunities. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are that of the individuals and not of their respective organizations.